Okay, well, good morning, everybody. Not that you can say good morning back, but I guess you could if you hit number one. Wouldn't be a problem. Good morning, Eve. I guess you're there, too. Looks like we still have a number of people to show up. One good thing about this work is that once you know it and you really make it your own, it is yours. And so, anybody have any questions or comments to begin the day? I know that not everybody's able to make it here on this call, but we will have the call online where everybody can listen to it. All right, we have somebody with their hand up, and I will put you on. Trudy, you're on. Hello, Trudy. Why is this not working? Put Trudy on local. Hello, Trudy.
No.
Okay. Okay, are you there, Trudy?
I am here.
Okay, I did. No, you put it on local, Jennifer. Yeah, Trudy, so what did you have you didn't have a question?
Yes. The third part was supposed to be recorded and online, and I emailed Jennifer on that. I still don't see it. Is it coming?
The third part, is it online?
Yeah. I'm working on it right now.
Okay, she's working on it now.
Okay, that's good then.
Yeah, we came up with some tremendous technical difficulties on the third part.
Actually, the third part's online right now, but I'm working on the
second day, that's where we had the technical difficulties. It was just a three-hour session, or it was a four-hour session. I forget, but anyway, it was impossible to edit for some reason, so we'll put up the unedited version, but Jennifer's putting up the third part right now.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Day two. The third part I put up...
Anyway, so here's another question here. Let's see. Put this one back on local. And then we're over city. Darn. Okay. I have a question from Amy. Amy, you are on. Hello, Amy.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Let me just get off the speaker. There. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. Are you okay with me just jumping into some questions over the...
Sure.
Okay. Well, first, I want to say that how difficult it was to complete this exercise. You know,
I mean,
I just found myself giving all these excuses and didn't really realize it until I sat down to do it and realized how powerful it really was when I got to the remorse and the release.
Yeah.
And my question was, they seem to happen simultaneously for me, the release and the remorse. Does that sound right? It seemed like it was sort of like a combination of both of them at the same time.
There is a spectrum of people's experiences, and so some people experience it different than others, and it's challenging to say that it can be one way or another, but if that's how it worked for you, that's how it worked. But
right.
I find that for me, and probably for most people, you hit the remorse, and you just... The more deeply you dive into it, the more unforgivable you feel to yourself. And when that happens, it is so challenging to be able to move forward into the forgiveness. But once you get through the forgiveness, that's when the mass of love wave comes in.
Okay, well, I may be stuck and I may not. I'm not sure.
Well, I think
this is so multifaceted. Go ahead.
It's a deep process, and it takes you all the way to your limits. So,
right.
If you feel this overwhelming love and gratitude coming into you, and your symptoms are changing, well, you got to the other side. But if you're not feeling that, you're getting closer to it, you know, but you're not necessarily there.
Right. Yeah, I think I've maybe got a piece of it.
Yeah.
So one of the parts that came up for me around the forgiveness was also forgiving the person as well. It was like almost like a combination. It was almost like the two of us were the same.
Yeah.
That ever happened?
Yeah, that's a very deep spiritual experience of realizing that we did this dance together. Yeah.
Right.
That can happen spontaneously, for sure. It's
okay.
Not so much the focus of the work, but it happens, and it's beautiful when it does.
Okay. All right. Good. Then, yeah, I mean, then the love did come very profoundly, and I think I got caught up a little bit in sort of this sort of dance between both of us, our soul.
Yeah, well, it is, because when you realize that you were generating it also, then you don't feel quite so blameful.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
okay.
Good.
And I can't say that, I mean, I have noticed some shifts. I can't say that it's been a turnaround from what my original, question was, or desire. Would you suggest just to keep doing it?
Well, yeah, I mean, play it by ear. Yeah, see if there's juice there. Now, what happens is there's a lot of juice in these situations until we release it deeply enough and change our identity. Now, I mean, there can be still a lot of energy on these things until you've shifted that part of yourself.
Right. And that could take some time, yeah. Correct? I mean,
yeah, but, you know, when you release the really deep, profound emotion, there's not so much energy on that thing, and it's easier to then change the emotions. I know we got a couple people waiting. I want to
okay.
Take a moment, if I may. Thank you, Amy. Is that good? I'm local. Yeah, a question came up how I came across the system and the amount of Lazarus material that I was using. And I thought I would give you an overview of how the system came about. I had studied with Lazarus from 1980 to 1995. It was a time of intense research. I was going to every single seminar and just working with the material like I was in college and just really focusing on it. And I learned a tremendous amount of stuff, which became a background for me and of philosophical, spiritual, psychological understanding of how things were operating. And in one private reading back in 1980, I had a rash, and Lazarus asked me a question. And he didn't ask me a question, he just blurted out what it was about. Just blurted out what it was. And that got me thinking to create questions, and I created the seven questions, and the questions grew to larger and larger numbers over time. And Lazarus had provided a lot of understanding on release, but I was not able to use their forgiveness process. Now, they gave me the map of understanding that the forgiveness needed to happen, that we created our reality, and that we needed to go through to the other side about what self-responsibility looked like, but I was unable to do that. I was also aware over time of the Abraham material, of the Byron Katie material, of NLP, of EFT, and many other approaches for psychological benefit. And I'd see benefit and reasons that all of them had some really good stuff. And I thought, wait, how can we put these together? Because I was frustrated with the Abraham stuff because the answer, they weren't really dealing enough with emotional causation, and it was too much about petting the cat, because it wasn't getting to the core emotions that were inside there. And I loved, the tapping is great, but it felt like it was emotional bypass therapy to me. It wasn't really getting to it. And there were some extremely powerful NLP techniques, but they felt disrespectful to me emotionally. And Byron Katie had this amazing turnaround where you could find your own responsibility in a situation, but her philosophy was too passive from my point of view, that there's your will, there's God's will, and then there's what happens, and it's not about reality creation. And And I just felt like, God, there's got to be something where I put these pieces together. And that's how this got just put together. So on the discovery, that is clearly my work. It was inspired by a Lazarus reading. The release, I'm relying very heavily on the best release techniques I know. They came from Lazarus' work. And if you ever want to research that, go to Lazarus.com, and there's endless tapes and a bunch of videos and stuff, and their materials is available. They're not the only good release work. The release work that I'm teaching and some of the definitions I'm using, a lot of them, in fact, come from my understandings of working with Lazarus, who always encouraged us to make the work our own. Then after that, the insight is a little, one little tiny part of Byron Katie's idea about how you turn the information around toward yourself. Then the remorse is obviously something that I came up with that just a matter of spending time with it. It's just so valuable. The forgiveness technique, I've always credited Ho'oponopono with, but as you can see based on your readings in that this is a much more dynamic approach, and it doesn't really work very well if you haven't found emotional causation. And then the explosion into the self-love is a natural outcome of having all the pieces in the right order. But if you don't have them in the right order, you really aren't going to get the result that you want. Okay, we've got a couple other people waiting to speak, and I have Arikari. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
I wanted to share something really neat, and then I had a question.
Sure.
So you had suggested I work on the remorse part around my mom. And I figured, you know, maybe there's something deeper that I hadn't released. So I decided first to try to dig deeper into some anger and sadness. And I did that, but the sadness wasn't that deep, and therefore the remorse wasn't that deep. And then it's very interesting. The following night I had a dream. And the dream was I was defensive, and this teacher, could have been you, I don't know. I didn't recognize anybody. But worked with my body and discovered there was still this thought of not good enough. And with that, I went back and saw the steps and realized I hadn't done that part on the anger where I was angry with my mom and she was an imaginary mom and truly responded.
Yes.
And I did that part. And then all the sadness came much, much deeper, and all the remorse very, very deep, and all the love. So it was like my dream told me I hadn't gotten to the bottom. And the love was incredibly powerful, and I feel like this whole week, it's been really different. The love feels much deeper towards myself and the sense of my wholeness and perfection that I've always been. So I thank you very much.
You're welcome.
My question was, you know, when you suggested the part of the anger where you wrote the letter and then you made the intention when you burned it to be finished with it, I think I couldn't access the replay. So I feel very finished with it. But my question is, if in myself or working with someone, something comes up, is it like you're finished with that incident, or are you finished with the whole thing with the mom? Because mine was very general with my mom. I felt finished with my mom. But if some ailment came up, is it just you finished with that particular incident? Is it like if someone goes back and there's more stuff there with their mom, does that mean they didn't do the work fully enough, or they just didn't feel that incident?
Do
you understand my question?
Of course. One of the letters that I got was from someone who noticed that the theme had shifted in her life, so that when she was confronted with somebody who she normally would be completely shut down around because it was bringing up that theme, she wasn't losing herself. So it's like these are very deep issues, and you may notice that the theme comes up from time to time, but your response to it will probably be different. And, you know, these things often take a little bit more work and time before we are done with them. And so is that good?
Well, no, I didn't totally answer because when we did that, when you said do the exercise and you said make the intention that this is finished, like the anger is finished.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, but you're saying that even though you make that intention, it might come up again at some other level.
You see, here it is. You did a great release. I don't have to tell you that. You're telling me that. So we know that that part is true. The next part is that did you sweep all the dust out of the room? Well, yeah, you swept it all out, except maybe there's this pocket over there that you didn't notice, and maybe this pocket over here. And so as we revisit the situation, we find out how thorough a job we did of it. There may be aspects of it that you hadn't done.
Okay. That clears it up. And my legs are warmer, by the way.
Yay. Okay, see? There you go. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, excellent. And we have Gabrielle. You are on now. Hi, Gabrielle. Maybe you didn't want to be on. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hello. Oh, it's me. Okay.
Yeah,
I couldn't understand the name. Okay, yeah. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Very good.
I just wanted to share an experience I had. I work together with somebody out of the group, and it's really hard to get much deeper to analyze what's going on and to make the connection what really causes the problem. And after we had done that, I did the release. It was for my shoulder and back pain, and I started with the sadness. But during the sadness, there came so much anger, so much hate. So, I almost thought I can't stand it. And then I started, just found me doing the fire breath to get out all that anger. And I was, for 5 minutes, I was totally, paralyzed. I couldn't move my hands, nothing. That shocked me a little bit that you can react like that. But it went away, and after that I did some release for the anger, what came up, and after that I felt so light. I was immediately out of pain, and did then later on the insight and remorse and the forgiveness, and it was about almost all day I didn't have that pain, and now the pain is back, but the pain was before like a 9 or 10, so now I can say it's 4 or 5. I know I have to do some more work to get all these layers off, but I only can everybody encourage to go on with that work.
Well, I just have to say for all of you who are doing the work, a big congratulations, not just that you're succeeding, but that you have the courage really visit these places. I mean, to be honest, I don't like doing this stuff. I put it off. And then when it comes time, I say, okay, I've got to do it. And I'll pick up and use self-created health. Other people are more encouraged by it, but you know, it's not the most fun thing in the world.
No, it's really hard to go through that.
But you become deeper and more every time you do, and it's a wonderful thing that way.
Yeah, I feel I have to do some more layers to take off, and I will reconnect to that lady I had worked with. But it's great if you have somebody helping you to do a discovery. Really, that helps. At first, when I did it, I didn't go as deep as she went with me.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't see behind that everything was related to my mom.
She opened
the eyes for that.
Wonderful. Yes. If you haven't emailed Jennifer@quantumtouch.com and asked for names of people, you know, in your area to connect with, to do the one-on-one sessions with, you know, to help you figure out emotional causation, it's a really good thing. Because
that really helps.
It really helps. It's so hard to see yourself on this stuff. It's so very hard sometimes. When you get better at it, and you just start writing all your answers down really fast, and you just take a third-person point of view, it's easier to see. But it's not an easy thing to catch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I have one question to that. Is it okay when you do the sadness, also let's come out all this anger, because it's often, I have the feeling it's so connected, and but with the sadness you should stay in this emotion for like the 20 minutes, and when you get that anger with that, is that okay? I had the feeling it's okay, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it's okay, but you know, if you really want to do the exercise purely in its most original state, I mean, like if this sadness has been there for a really long time and it's been debilitating you, just give it the 20 minutes. Boy, the anger is going to be ready to be expressed, but you got to really just try to get all the sadness out. But it's great,
But what are you doing when all this anger is coming up?
Well, okay, if it's overwhelming, then just feel it, because that's where you are. But if you can, stay with the sadness. But if the anger's there, the main thing is you want to get it all out of your system. That's the most important thing. And you are ultimately the best judge of what's true for you. And I can try to give you my, you know, what I've learned and some release techniques that I found. But, you know, a lot of the release techniques came from Lazarus work that I learned back, you know, in 1980 to 1995. There may be wonderful, really, I know I use Gestalt techniques also. One person spontaneously was, you know, changing chairs, which is a real Gestalt type of technique. There are other release techniques you can discover. These aren't the only ones. These are good ones. But there may be others, and you can evaluate them for yourself and decide what it is that works best for you.
Yeah, thank you so much for that workshop.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, good. And Henry, I've got you on now. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I do.
Good. Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a lot of surprises when I worked with the techniques. I actually was able to work with someone in Japan by Skype, and I'd worked with different people from the class, and it was just really enriching experience, both to help them. One big aha that I got was that at some point when I was helping people through the discovery process, that the person would come out with some statement. It was some pithy, vernacular statement, and they would see it in a different light, and it was as if the room lit up in that moment.
Yeah.
And that was such a release in and of itself that it was huge, and they got it. You know, they got it. Oh, this is what I've been saying. This is really what it meant. It didn't mean what I thought, and you know, it was huge. And I begin to see this happening a lot. Is this something you encounter a lot also?
Absolutely. And the word pithy is really good, because that's the word I was trying to find when I was talking about which ones to underline. But yeah, every so often somebody will hear themselves saying something like, one friend from Europe was saying, you know, and I couldn't figure out what this hip problem was about until I said out loud, I can't get over it. When she heard her say, I can't get over it, she knew instantly what the emotional issue was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just that kind of thing. And when you get it, you go, oh, that's the one. And when you have it, then you can do the process. But even the knowing of it is great, but you still got to go a lot farther than that.
Yes. I'm debating about sharing the personal one that came out for me. I came out with, it sucks. And then this goes back to the incubator, you know.
Wow, yeah, that sucks for sure. Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I totally hadn't thought it had gone there, but I heard it, and I heard it at lots of different levels, so it was just really illuminating. The other thing that happened after this was I had memories come up that I truly never knew I had in the process of this. And the understanding of processing that memory, which was not a happy memory, but I'm really happy it's out and cleared now. Boy, it explains so many different things. So I just wanted to share that was an unexpected bonus.
I'll tell you, this process, as simple as it seems on its surface, takes you so deep inside, but the gifts are so profound, and it's to be congratulated that you had the willingness, the courage, and the inner vulnerability to experience this stuff. And that's for everybody who is willing to not just take the workshop, but to really do the work. And, you know, this is what the world needs. The world needs people who are going to be honest. This is where honesty goes.
And I think the more we help others through this process, that mm-hmm. it helps ourselves, it sort of trains our own mind to look for this kind of integration in our own life. So,
absolutely.
That's it. That's all I had. And thank you. Just a big thank you.
You're most welcome. And so, Henry, I'll put you here on... okay, and so, Maury, I have you on now. Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I do.
Okay. I don't know why we always have to check that. But anyway, I'm the one who also wrote an email, and I'll ask the question now for the whole class. What happens when you process, you know, you go through the discovery, okay, and I wrote my letter, and I could feel the feelings of sadness and anger, but then when I sat down to feel it, it's like I'm shut down, and right now all of a sudden sadness is coming up, but I just felt so shut down, and I couldn't get into it, and then this morning, I went into the garage and into the car with a pillow, and I just started to scream, I want out, I want to feel my anger, I want to own it, but I just couldn't get in touch with it.
Well,
what do you suggest?
Well, your issues obviously are holding a tremendous amount of intensity and pain, and I would just suggest being really gentle with yourself, you know, because this is really vulnerable, and it's I think it might be good for you to get either the assistance of some other people in the class to work with you, or maybe a counselor or a hypnotherapist, and let them know what the issue is and where you're hitting a stuck place, because sometimes it's just too painful for us to be willing to go through it, or else just be really, really kind with yourself and just sit there and try to just go deeper. And go deeper with yourself and let yourself experience it, because this is challenging material. It's really challenging. Another thing to try is just moving through remorse and seeing if you can start opening the forgiveness channels, because that might soften it as well.
Okay, so go through the remorse then and see if I can't get through that way.
Yeah, try just moving into remorse, you know, and assume you've already done a lot of the release. And then move right into forgiveness, and then I think you're ready to blow through. That's what I'm getting right now. I think you can just, you know, I drew this pattern out as a general pattern, but if someone has had so much pain in the past, maybe they've experienced enough of it. Maybe they really know that place. And then it's time to just really work on forgiveness. No, to really understand, yeah, I did this to myself. I hurt myself this way, even though they did it to me. You know, I'm doing it to me all the time now. And just really try to dive into the forgiveness levels. Really just try to go into forgiveness, because maybe you're ready for that. Because what happens is that release is self-limiting. Release can be a trap. And how many people I knew who were doing Gestalt type of work who would be talking about the same pain year after year after year after year. And it was just so distressful to realize, you know, how they'd get all this attention for always having the same problem. And you could release for the rest of your life on one issue. You could have one person who did you wrong And you can actually spend the whole rest of your life trying to release that thing, and it won't ever go away. You can, because release is just remembering and experiencing it again. And you can always remember and re-experience the bad stuff. But at some point, you got to be done with it. And then that's where the remorse and the forgiveness really take over. And that's why having a clear map can be so useful. So I'm getting a sense that you might want to just experiment and explore going deep remorse and then just overwhelming play with forgiveness on, you know, just really dive into the forgiveness and get to the other side of it and notice how good you feel. Because I think you've experienced enough of the pain. That's just my sense. But, you know, otherwise, maybe get some more help. But I think you're ready
to
probably move on because you're experiencing so much of it now. Okay,
Thank you. Very good.
You're welcome. Okay, we have Lori. Lori, you're on. Hi.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Okay, I have two questions. First one, basically about the process. I did finally push through about Thursday to do the forgiveness and the the self-love, and my symptoms are slightly better physically, but I'm still feeling this lowness, this tiredness. You were talking earlier to somebody about the different aspects. When one thing clears, there may be other aspects. Do you have to go back and restart the whole process from the beginning if there's no second clear aspect that comes up? And how long do these residuals sort of last? Where do you start in the process again once you're kind of stuck in this residual?
I don't know. You know, this is called playing by ear, and I don't really have a clear answer for you on that one. I think it's going to be different for people based on what's going on with them. I think this is where your own creativity and insight will be better than my own, because I don't know. Like my friend Kirk, he kept having stuff show up from pretty much every week, but he was able to figure out, aha, here's another aspect of the theme that I hadn't dealt with before. And he was getting more and more excited every time one of them showed up, because, aha, here's how I'm going to love myself better than ever now. So that was very useful. I can't really comment on the specifics of it, however, to know how it's going to work for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. My next question is just basically some like a technical issue. If we were working with somebody last week in the breakout session,
sure.
Is there a way to like email Jennifer to pass along how to get them back? You know, I'd like to know how they are doing now. Does that make sense?
Did you get their email information or something or what?
Last week, no, we didn't switch information back and forth way. Can I do that through Jennifer later on?
Yeah, you know, if you want to connect with people in the group, sure. She may have to look up to figure out which person she did. I hope she has notes on that or something. But, yeah, but I really think that people should be exchanging with each other, you know, like as if you were in a regular class. You should have the ability to contact each other, at least the ones that you want to stay in touch with.
Okay, well, I do want to, briefly just say that I do appreciate all your help and your patience and everything with all this, because I've been having a little struggle with it, as some of the other people seem to be having it too. So
Yeah, well, this is tough work. This is tough work, but, you know, the rewards are overwhelming.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. Okay. And then we have Julia. Julia, you are on.
Hello, Julia. Hi. I felt a lot of insight, but rather than forgiveness, rather than remorse, all I could feel was despair, because I thought, I'm doing this and I have no idea how to stop it.
So you felt despair?
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, was despair part of the the hologram of the emotions of the situation?
Yeah, I guess it is.
So what you're actually doing is you're experiencing the original thing, and that's like a beginning point on the process, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole way the process has been, I've been experiencing it as a metaphor of the original thing from the first session where I had a big fight with my brother who tried to interrupt the call and help me with my discovery.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it's a nicer way to look at it. I also feel that I probably have a lot more anger to release. I did masses of releasing, which I felt it was quite nice to locate anger, which I haven't, you know, for a long time. But then towards the later today, I felt terrified. I thought there's so much anger in me, I could actually kill somebody.
Well, actually, it's a good idea to do it, to kill them in a meditation, not in person. because you can release that kind of violent anger, and we do have it from time to time, and it's not a bad thing to have the violent anger, it's just a bad thing to express it in the physical world, that's all. But if you express it in a meditation, it's actually quite healthy, because you're not actually wanting to physically hurt the person, it's wanting to release the anger, and that's the purpose of the violent thoughts. And so you're getting closer. You're getting closer,
yeah.
But I would again, move, you know, keep, just try to vent it. Try to just take it out of your system. And then, you know, then move into the other steps. Because it's a temptation to just stay forever in that well-deserved anger. I mean, you have every right to spend the rest of your life being that angry. You really do. But it's not going to serve you. That's the problem with it. Because when we've been hurt this way, we really do, you know, we have every right to be that angry for the rest of our life. And great, except that it's not going to help. So what we need to do is need to express, release it, and then move forward.
Yeah, I'm reluctant to go back there because I do very well not feeling any anger on a daily basis, you know. And
yeah,
I don't like
of course.
It, you know.
No one likes it, and that's why we avoid it. That's why we bury it.
Okay.
And
just have to be brave, I guess.
It's very brave. It really is. And that's why most human beings are more comfortable spending a lifetime being somewhat miserable than 20 minutes feeling agony. Because they don't want to have to feel what's actually there, because it's just to go into that depth of emotional pain, they'd rather be uncomfortable their whole life than have to spend a few minutes going through it. So congratulations on your willingness, and I'm going to be so happy when you're on the other side, because that's what's coming next.
Okay. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Okay. So, got that there. I don't see anybody with their hand raised. If there's anybody who wants to talk, this is a good time to do it. But while I'm waiting for anybody to dare to hit the one on their keypad, I want to say that I'm so proud of everybody for having that willingness to go there. Oh, we got a whole bunch of hands up all at the same time. All right. Well, we have Jorge. Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. More than a question, I go through the seven-step process.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, I have a little bit problem with the judgment at the discovery.
Yeah.
But now I realize that maybe hate is okay for a judgment.
Yeah.
And when I ran all the process, I also add between the remorse and the forgiveness, because it's coming at the same time, more or less. When you finish with the remorse, for sure you begin the forgiveness,
right.
And for sure it's a cascade to the self-love and the infinite love.
Yeah.
But in that point, I add commanding. I use the technique of the one command in between the remorse and the forgiveness, and I have really, really, really nice. The results was wonderful, awesome.
Oh, beautiful! I'm not familiar with that process, but it obviously worked.
Yeah, definitely. Just the process is wonderful because when I was last week in the States, I come back this week to my country, to Ecuador. And we are here at 2,800 meters above sea level, and the altitude affects me a lot. I ran this process with me, and right now I'm feeling very, very good. Thank you very much, Richard.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful that you did that, yes. Awesome. All right. Well, next up we have Donna. Donna, I have you on now.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to share my experience. In my experience from the release to the insight to the remorse seemed to be almost a continuum. I did set my timer, but I felt like when I broke it down into steps, I would start to come out of really being deep in my heart with all the shattering and the heartbreak and the anger and the fear. I found in the release part of writing the letter that when I sat down to start to write, it was more intellectual of what I felt I was angry about with the relationship, the experience, whatever the resonance was. But when I got to the place where this is really I want to let go, I surrendered to all of the feelings I dropped into my heart and started writing without any thought. The words just flow and I wrote so fast and it just basically took a life on of its own. It was no more from my mind. And and as I just let it flow, since I was not in control of the pen and the thoughts and the feelings, that it started to transition from that release to the insight. And I found myself going back and forth between the emotions of the blame from the person to the accountability and the mirroring of us actually being the same person and basically coming forth to each other. And so it kind of, the more I surrendered to just allow, it was shifting into the next stage, if that made sense.
It does.
Separating the release from the insight to the remorse. And the forgiveness when I was in the remorse, again, the deeper I went into my heart, the more I allowed to just surrender to what was there, I started to feel more of a deeper heart forgiveness as opposed to doing the I forgive you, I love, that kind of thing, because it was
more resonant. If it's organic and working for you that way, by all means, you know?
Yeah, it just seemed to be more, at least in this particular experience, you know, that it just seemed to be more, it was a flow, and just the more I surrendered to it, the more I realized the steps are there. It's just an automatic transition and being aware that you just keep moving through it, you know, and not missing that step. So it was pretty amazing. And when I was in the remorse stage, I started to feel there was a lot of stuff about coughing, choking, throat.
Mm-hmm.
I always had a lot of issues with throat chakra. And as I went through that, I could just feel energetically everything just open up. And it just shifted and cleared. And all other awarenesses of this parallel of how I was with this person, this situation, into all other aspects of my life, and just started coming forth with just words and awarenesses to carry through into my day, and I just started writing those down, and they seemed to resonate what was the core behind all of that, of my need for self-love and coming from love and letting it go and being free, and just things just seemed to evolve just automatically and in a much deeper way beyond that person, that situation, that resonance.
Isn't that amazing? Totally.
Yeah. I mean, it was just absolutely, it was more kind of life-shifting awareness. It was huge. It was beyond what the actual thing that started it all that I thought.
Yeah, it's beyond the description of the class.
Yes. And
there's no way to...
Yeah, there's no way, and I think it's really just honoring the process, and it feels like surrendering to it, just absolutely finding that flow and getting out of the way and committing to it. And it's so great when you can step out of the way.
Exactly, and what a life-transforming experience.
Absolutely, absolutely huge.
And the thing that just boggles my mind is that this is what psychology was supposed to be. And why haven't lots of people put these obvious pieces together? It goes from this step to that step to that step, and then we're on the other side.
Absolutely. The one thing, and I don't know if this would be helpful for some of the people that talked about writing the letter of the anger and building the anger and getting stuck there, when, like I said, I surrendered to the pen and I just allowed it and just opened up and flowed, it didn't matter if it made sense. It didn't matter if it was what I thought it was.
Right.
That words and emotions and feelings that made the connection showed up that I intellectually did not connect to with that person, that situation, that emotion of anger, of fear. It just brought up what I didn't know was there. I guess not that I didn't know that I was there, but I wouldn't own up to, because it was so much painful, and because that deep pain brought it back to myself and my responsibility and my accountability and to me. So that helped, that surrender to just, it's not, I don't know what it is, I don't know what it's about, but what is coming from the floodgates that I'm opening up, that kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense, and it makes more sense to you, but I love it. I just think it's great. You're fully doing it, and you're not the same person you were.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No.
It's very amazing, and I thank you so much for the process.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey. And we have, this is Kim. Kim, I have you on now. Hi.
Hi. I'm asking that you speak of shame.
Yeah. Well, as I said before about shame, shame occurs when somebody who's feeling shame dumps their shame on you. Children don't naturally experience shame. Little children running around naked is a good example. Feel no shame at all. It's just fun. You know, yippee, I'm in the sun, I'm running around. But the parent who had felt shame says, put your clothes on, bad girl, you know. And that's shame. Shame is when somebody dumps their shame on you. And that's why it's so difficult to process shame, because it wasn't yours to begin with, and you hadn't done anything wrong. But other people make you feel subhuman, which is the definition of shame. Shame is when you are feeling subhuman. And the best way to deal with processing the shame is to go back to the person who made you feel that way and give it back to them. Say, this does not belong to me, this belongs to you, and just get really angry and give the shame back to them. And don't try to release what isn't yours. Just give it back and be angry and be done with it, because it isn't yours to begin with.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Okay, and got one here from Trudy. Trudy, you are on. Hi.
Hi, I'm here. I've worked with this stuff, and it was last weekend that you fired all the questions at me with respect to tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
And through this and that and everything, all your steps, but nothing is changing. I've also worked quite a few of QT sessions on my ears, both basic and core, and
yeah.
I've worked with the emotion coach. I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Bradley Nelson's work on emotional release. He uses, you could call it an emotional bypass like EFT, because he just releases it using a Nikon magnet, although he says any magnet will do, and I've worked with it on other things, and just a QT hand with energy will do just as well as a magnet. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
No, okay. But since you called EFT emotional bypass, I'm kind of thinking you could call the emotion coach emotional bypass and just like that, and I need to sort of try to come to grips with that, what it means. But with respect to my hearing, nothing changes. And at the time when nothing changes, basic QT doesn't change it, core work doesn't change it.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Does the phrase, in terms of your own emotional background, nothing changes, does that ring a bell to you?
Yeah, nothing changes. My hearing doesn't change, and me doesn't change.
I'm talking about the old emotional stuff.
Yes, the old emotional stuff had to do with my retirement, which sucked, and that's not changing. I just have to accept it.
Yeah.
I have retired. I am retired. There's just no way that I'm going to get back and take over the business, which my sons now run and run very well. And I'm good with them running it. That's not going to change.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry the process hasn't worked better for you. I personally don't advertise that this is going to fix everything. And I'm sorry that this is one that isn't changing for you. There's only a couple thoughts. Maybe, you know, try working with somebody else in the group and maybe they'll be able to hit a deeper insight. Maybe there are some conditions that are not as accessible, but I don't know if I believe that fully. I don't really know where to go with you on this one right now, except to suggest you receive more help from maybe some other people in the group.
I'd love that, if Jennifer can hook me up with somebody else.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Certainly,
sure
if you don't know where to go with it, I don't blame you for that. I don't know where to go with it at this point either.
But
so.
What I would look at is the phrase "nothing changes."
Right.
And then look at the rage around that whole thing and see if you can dive into that one.
There's no more rage left around that.
I pretty well accepted it. Maybe through the forgiveness, maybe deeper forgiveness. Maybe going through that no one can help me.
No, I've got to do it myself.
Yeah, I've got to do it all myself. No one can
help
me.
I have to help myself. No, I've got to do it myself.
I know, but you see, here's the thing. You might be playing this one out, and I'm not saying this is for sure, but I'm just kind of giving a guess that no one can help me. I've always got to do it myself, and that might be a script.
That's an old refrain in my life.
Well, there you go. There you go. So you're singing that tune. And so maybe that's really where you're going with this one. No one can help me. I got to do it all myself. And I can't, and I'm not good enough to do it myself, you know?
Oh, no. I'm better than anybody else.
All right. Well, then go for it. You know,
okay.
Dive in there.
There is nothing in me that says I'm not good enough. It's never, ever been there. My parents have never, ever told me not good enough.
Then,
I've always been top of the class. I've always been allowed to feel good about what I do by everyone.
Very good. All right. Well, and get into the, nothing changes.
Nothing changes, yeah. I'll work with that. Thanks.
You bet. Okay, well, good luck.
Thank you.
Right. Okay, we have Kay. I have you on now. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay. I'm going to ask the typical question. Can you hear me?
I do.
Oh, terrific. Richard, first, I just want to share that I've had some improvements in my health and in my energy level, and I'm quite grateful for this because through the years, I've tried many things. In my process this week, I got to forgiveness, and I really felt a softening in my heart. And I got to the I love you, which was also terrific for me because I've had a lot of trouble with self-love.
Sure.
I wish I could have gotten to the overwhelming love and the shift of, in the identity because I've been on a spiritual path for a number of years. Any suggestions?
Keep doing it. Keep working with it. And then, as you continue opening yourself up, you get closer and closer to it, and it'll happen. It's really an automatic process. When you're there, it just automatically happens. You don't have to try to make it happen. You just have to keep working with it because, I would guess that you've had a lot of, you know, challenge feeling all the emotions as deeply as needed and letting yourself go through those experiences. So when you do, you'll be able to experience it more deeply. That's all.
So should I start at the, like, I've already burned all the letters and all, but should I start at the release phase again and go from there on down?
Well, try this out. If release doesn't have a lot of interest to you, if you're getting bored with release, just move into remorse and forgiveness. You know, there does come a time where, you know, when you try to think about, oh, God, releasing that person again, oh, God, I'm so bored with that. And if you get to that stage, then just move, really dive into remorse. Just forget about release at that point because it's getting boring. You know, reading that old script with the dog-eared pages is, you know, it's old. So try diving into remorse and forgiveness and just really focusing on those places because maybe that's where you need to really focus.
Now, there was a lot of energy. I was just weeping around the remorse of realizing all of the years and what I've done to myself. And the forgiveness, is there any, maybe I could, I'm so glad we're doing this because is there a particular template or something to use in the forgiveness? Maybe that's where I need more.
Well, you know, it's just follow the template I gave out, which is, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, repeated back and forth. And then that switches to, you know, I forgive you, I love you, and the other one's still saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and you keep going back and forth like that until that switches to both of you saying, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you, I love you, and that stays that way till for a little while, and then it goes into I love you, 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 and that just takes you all the way to the other side. So that's the template.
And, okay.
And just follow that template, and it works really well.
All right. Maybe it's just more time and more incubation that's needed.
I think you're doing great. It's just you want to go a little further, that's all.
Thank you so much, Richard.
You're more than welcome. Okay. And Darlene, I have you on now. Hi.
Hi, Richard. I just wanted to give some feedback and let you know that I found the whole process absolutely amazing. I'm not finished with the issues that I was working on because anxiety takes a little work, but
sure.
I certainly did notice an enormous shift. I've been working with the Lazarus material for over 5 years at different levels, and it's amazing, and I think what you put together here and taking some of the nutshells out of it makes it so workable with the client because I've never kind of worked this process with a client, but I see that it's possible to do. So I'm really grateful for that because I can see it being very, very workable. But the thing that I noticed in the discovery as I was going down with Nancy, I went down and I knew a lot of my issues are I was taking care of everyone else and I didn't nurture myself. And
right.
I also knew that I wasn't nurtured as a child. So as I was working through the process, I did the letter as well as going into the remorse and the feelings. And I had written down one sentence, after you do the hurt, your 20 minutes, and then I just about missed the sentence, nurture yourself for 1 hour. And
that's a big
you
one.
You know? So, and I just noticed that today, actually, because here it was, I wasn't nurturing myself, and then I didn't want to do that nurturing. It's not that I don't do music or take walks or read books, but I never say, well, I'm going to nurture myself and do it right after I've done some processing. Because whenever I've done processing, I think, well, I better get the dishes done and some other things done around here, and I kind of skip that right then.
Yeah,
so
that makes a big difference.
For me, that was really key. And then when the lady was talking about retirement, which got my next issue going, she said nothing ever changes. And I've got to go work with that one. So I want to thank her for the gift and you for noticing it.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I'm so impressed at the willingness of this group to do the work. It's just very inspiring. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay. And hello, Henry. I've got you on again.
Hey, hi.
you recommend people do the forgiveness part out loud?
Yes or no. It doesn't matter.
If
it works better for you, I mean, just follow what works better for you. If you like it out loud, by all means, do that.
What I found was when I could hear myself say those words, and in the saying of them, it had an additional layering of impact.
I can see that. I think that may be a good thing to add into the process. I like that. I think that, you know, recommendation of doing it out loud would be very good for this process. And for those who don't want to do it out loud, then they can do it quietly. I think that makes sense. I like that. Good. Good addition.
It deepened it. And another quick question. It came up in one of the discovery processes for someone I was working with, embarrassment. So that can have so many different layers under it. Do you then just sort of probe for the nuance? Is it a shame, embarrassment, or vulnerability, and what kind of thing? Is that how you would recommend, or do you have something more specific?
Yeah, I would definitely look in those directions. You know, it could be shame. It could be humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely go in those directions and see what kind of embarrassment it was, and help them, you know, through it.
Get to more of a primary emotion.
Yeah, but you know, the primary emotion had its origin somewhere.
Yes.
And so maybe it was really a humiliation issue, maybe it was a shame issue.
Okay. Thanks.
You bet. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit, give you a little bit more information about some things that, some nuances that may be helpful. That there are, talk about ego and self-pity. This is stuff I got from working with Lazarus for all those years also. There is, the ego is a valuable part of our self. The healthy ego recognizes what's happening and says, this person said this, there's a brick coming to you, you better duck. It just gives you it's a voice from the inside to the outside. It's a neutral witness. That's the healthy ego. The destructive ego, or the negative ego, is the one that wants to feel self-pity or self-importance, better than or less than. And that's it, and in simplicity, it sounds really easy to understand. It's just that we get suckered into its games all the time. There's two kinds of self-pity to be aware of. And one kind is the overt victim energy of self-pity, and the other kind is the martyr, the unappreciated, misunderstood, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, unfairly treated, unfairly blamed, and angry at God. That whole syndrome of self-pity. And when you consider the self-pitying people who operate from the martyr position are the ones that really cause us the most pain and damage in our lives, because they're feeling unappreciated, misunderstood, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, unfairly treated, angry at God. They're the ones who may feel that it's okay to lie, be dishonest. And the subtle message that self-pity gives, and this is the real destructive message, is that your love isn't good enough. Your love is not good enough. And so no matter how much you love them and how much you care for them, not good enough, you didn't do it good enough. And so the punishment that they're offering up is to let you know that your love wasn't good enough. And they're feeling free to lie. And when you consider back on who hurt you the most in your life, it was somebody operating from subtle self-pity or martyrhood. And that is just some really good information to understand, that when we are operating, and everybody does this, from the unappreciated, misunderstood, overburdened, innocent of wrongdoing, unfairly treated, angry at God energies, That's when we're hurting people. That's when we are doing the damage to others. And the opposite, of course, is love or gratitude, because you cannot be in love or gratitude and in self-pity simultaneously. You're either in one or the other. So this is just a little deeper understanding to get a sense of how those operate. And when you're doing the emotional process, there's no self-pity about it. You're moving through the steps. And when you come into the love and gratitude, you are so far from that self-pitying vibration and the negative ego aspects. So that's just a little perspective. So we have nobody with their hand raised now. If you want to ask a question or get involved in the conversation, this would be a really good time to do it. Looking around here. Not one person has raised their hand. How about that? That's great. So essentially, what I've done in this workshop is give you a map. Oh, we got about four or five hands up all of a sudden. Five to be exact. Okay. So we have Sarah. You are on. I hope I got your name right. Hello? Keturah, can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, I didn't catch that you were saying my name.
Yes.
I found last week I told you that I didn't get the deep feeling, so I went off my antidepressant for one thing, which helped. And I went through the process and I got in touch with the feeling and the insight, the remorse, and all of that. And I worked on the forgiveness for hours.
Oh, my.
Through the night, actually.
Yeah.
And I'm still exhausted, which may be why I don't have a lot of relief of symptoms. But I got a little aha when another person said that they didn't really do the nurturing.
Yes.
Because I had trouble with that. Well, what do I do for an hour? So I ended up writing notes about what I'd got in the process up to that time and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then tried sitting and meditating for a while. But I did find it helpful, by the way, to do the forgiveness, saying those things out loud.
Yay, Henry.
And to shift my position from one role to the other.
Good.
And I even got to the point, I was feeling symptoms in my body. And I'm the one with the, I said last week, I had the immune system issues and was feeling that actually in the heart and the thymus areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I just happened on to putting my hand over that area, just sort of like trying to put energy into that chakra. And
yeah,
it gradually eased. It took a long time, but it was working to that extent. But I got to the point where I was really feeling it and feeling the difference. And I finally just conked out. I was so tired. But I didn't get to a point of explosion. It was a gradual, continuing improvement. Now, do I probably still need to do more?
Well, if the symptoms are still there, yeah. And if they're not, no. So
okay.
I think what happens is, it doesn't have to be explosive, but it is for many people. But it's just like a sense of just overwhelming love and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
That if you get to the other side of forgiveness really deeply, that's the experience. It's like you hit a new level of self-love. If somebody told me that there would be times in my life where I would be able to experience self-love as deeply or more deeply than I've ever experienced love in my life, period, I would have had a hard time believing that that was true.
Okay.
But that's where this work can go. So I wouldn't recommend, you know, staying up all night trying to do the forgiveness. I think if you can spend, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes doing it, that should be really sufficient. If it isn't happening, you've got too much resistance, work more on process.
Okay.
Yeah, work more on process stuff, because if there's that, or maybe the remorse or something, because if it isn't happening smoothly in 10 or 15 minutes, I think there's resistance, way too much resistance.
Okay.
If the forgiveness is having trouble because you're not forgiving yourself and you just can't deal with how painful the issue was, yeah, that makes sense. That could take, you know, 10 minutes or 15 minutes to try to get into it. But, you know, more than an hour, it's not effective at that point. Because
okay.
What you really want to do is you want to dive into those emotions and let them through. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Okay. And I have Lynn. Okay, Lynn, you're on now.
Hi, Richard. I have several comments, but I wanted to suggest to people or get your comment on this.
Yeah, please.
When I was doing the discovery and came up with something from the past that fit fairly well, but not as exactly as I would like it to.
Right.
So I looked for other things, couldn't find anything else. So I went ahead and worked with the one that was a fairly close fit.
Yeah.
Partway through the process, and I don't know what step it was on, my subconscious said, oh, look here, this fits perfectly.
Great.
So I went ahead and finished what I was working on because I assumed that needed to be processed anyway, mm-hmm. and then later worked on the one that fit perfectly. So, I mean, I would just like to suggest to people, if you don't get a perfect fit, maybe work on it anyway, see what your subconscious does.
Yeah, you know, then that's really good. And what happens is you notice that it had a lot of the thematic elements of the one that fit perfectly. It just wasn't quite exactly right.
Right.
And we tend to play in themes. You know, we'll have this theme in our life and we, you know, it didn't quite work, but you're close. You're really close to it. So, yeah, good work. Good work. The subconscious can be our best friend that way.
Yeah, definitely. I also wanted to share that I'm glad no one was watching me in my kitchen this morning because I was picking up jars and tightening the lids as tightly as I could possibly and then unloosening them again, just to test whether I had gotten some relief from the arthritis in my fingers.
Huh.
And I would say after 24 hours, I had about 50% relief, and after 36 hours, which was this morning, I would say about 80%.
Wow. Isn't that great? And
yeah.
So not only do the symptoms go away, but you feel, or going away, but you feel tremendously different as a human being.
Oh, yeah. It's like things that I thought I might not be able to do in the future, I'm thinking, you know, I no longer have an excuse.
Well, hooray. But it's so much more empowering than just, you know, taking a pill.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, another thing.
Yeah, sure.
And this, it's a question. I don't know who I stole this from. It's not original with me, but it seems to work for some people with problems they're having to ask them what benefit they're receiving from that condition they're
I thought about that, but I thought it was too rude for most people to deal with. You know, it's sort of like asking them, okay, what's the emotional cause of this condition? You know, and there are payoffs. There are secondary gains. What do you get out of it? And one of the questions is, who else is affected by this condition? It's one of the questions on the list. And that's what they get out of it, because what everybody gets out of their condition is it's a manipulation that affects other people. But it's too rude for me to just say that to people directly. Like, okay, who are you manipulating by having the condition? And so I'd say, who else is affected? I didn't want to be that rude.
Yeah, I see. I don't have a problem being rude.
Well, that's good. I'm trying to be nice, but I don't always succeed.
I'm kidding. I have used that, but only with friends, that question.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, well, that's fine. You know, but there are other questions. And so why don't you just ask them what the emotional cause is? I think, well, if they knew that, they wouldn't be needing the process, would they? Okay, then.
Okay.
Anything else?
Let me get your opinion on this.
Sure.
If you can't come up with someone who has, in the past, who might be responsible for your condition, what would you think of making an imaginary person like a surrogate, and that you try to work through your anger at this person, even if you don't know who it was? Is that getting too...
I'm not inclined to go there. I think
okay.
We have enough real experiences that without making up phantoms.
That's probably very true.
Yeah, we have enough real problems without trying to make up somebody who would be responsible, a new boogeyman who did this to us. I think the real one is right there. And, and our mom and dad tend to be the biggest boogeymen that haunt our past. Besides the exes, it's really kind of amusing, but the answer is usually mom, dad, or exes. That's usually the answer to the people who have hurt us most deeply that we're experiencing symptoms around, except in one lovely woman in Japan, and it was her piano teacher, who she called the butt-headed goblin. But most of the time, it's someone very close to us, and you don't have to look very far to find it.
I guess I was thinking that if you can't find it, knowing that it probably is someone close, that perhaps if you work with a surrogate, your subconscious then would tell you who it was.
Hey, try it out. Let me know how it works out.
Sure.
I can't recommend it yet, but I'm totally open to hearing about good ideas that work.
All right. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye. And we have Arikara. Let's see, where are you there? I see you. Okay, I've got you on now. Hi.
Yep.
Hi.
I had a question and a comment.
Sure.
The question is, I attempted to do this with someone who comes to see me who wanted to work on a relationship issue. And I found it a little difficult in terms of some of the questions didn't seem to apply, like the symptoms seemed very similar to emotions. And then also imagine what's going on in your body. Well, it wasn't anything about the body. I don't know.
When you're dealing with a relationship issue, you are dealing with the emotions directly. So that's the issue. And then maybe there's somebody in the past where that pattern came up.
Okay.
You don't have to translate it from the body at that point. It says directly you're already working with emotion.
Okay, same with the money issue then. You'd be dealing with the emotions around whatever the money issue is.
Yeah, but there are symptoms of the money, like can't pay the bills or whatever. But, when you're dealing with a specific emotional issue, then you're dealing with the emotions. And what we're doing in the health is we're translating the symptoms from physiological to emotional.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm going around the door and coming back. The other thing, you keep talking about the shame and that, really it's not something you have to give it back. I just want to say, every time you say that, I want to offer something. I think you can give it back, but I still think, from my own experience, my own process and as a therapist, it could still be there. And I found the most effective thing to help people with that is either have it looked in your eyes in the mirror, or the best yet is have someone who can come from a place of pure love look at you in your eyes, and that will burn up all the shame.
Okay, I like that. That's beautiful.
So I just wanted to offer that.
I do appreciate it very much.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay. So we have, next is up is Trudy. Trudy, I have you on now. Hi.
Hi, Richard. A minute ago, you mentioned the two terms self-pity or self-importance,
mm-hmm.
and you walked us through self-pity. I appreciated how you did that. Can you do the same thing for self-importance?
Yeah, the self-importance, I guess I kind of jumped through that a little too fast. The self-importance is actually kind of amusing if you can step back a few steps. It's why people secretly feel better than other people. And I once did an exercise in front of a large group of people where I had people write down on little cards, not sign their name, and say why they secretly feel better than other people. Just one reason. You know, I'm the most loving person. I'm the most spiritual person. I'm the most intelligent person. I'm the most giving person. I'm the most sensitive person. These are the things that people wrote down. You know, I'm the most loving person in the world, you know. And so I collected all these in a wastebasket, which I thought was very metaphorically wonderful. And then I pulled them all out one by one and read them in front of the whole group. And what happened was I would make a joke out of every one of them. I'd say, okay, well, here's the most loving person. Well, how loving is it to think that you're more loving than everybody else? Well, that's not very loving. And the most intelligent person, how intelligent is it to think that you're more intelligent than all these other people you don't know? And here's the most sensitive person, and so forth. And what happens is they are always lies. And the thing about the self-pity and the self-importance is that they are lies. There may be a lot of truth. The intelligent person may indeed be a very intelligent person, but the minute they give it to their ego, the minute the person who thinks they're the most loving, they may be a very loving person, but the minute they think they're the most loving, they just lost that quality for themselves because they're no longer loving. So the trap is of feeling like you're the best or you're the worst, the most, you know, the self-importance or the self-pity. And then sometimes people get really clever and they put them both together at the same time. They'll say, oh, poor me, I'm the most wonderful person in the world and no one appreciates it. So now they're playing both self-pity and self-importance in one single sentence. And it's just good to recognize these when you play them and you can just walk away, because the way to stop self-pity is just to stop. There's no technique for stopping self-pity. You just, it's a choice. It's just a decision you make. I'm not going to do this now, and you stop it. Stop it in its tracks, because it's a lie.
And you do the same thing for self-importance? Just stop it?
Yeah, just stop it. You know, like, it's not honest. The self-importance is not honest. You just say, no, that's not true. And you stop it.
Okay, can you tell anybody else who you think who's too self-important? Can you say, just stop it, it's a lie? That won't
you
work.
Can say that, but you might get a punch in the nose.
Yeah, and you won't have positive results.
No, it's not going to be. In fact, if you try to tell a martyr what they're doing, they will crucify you for it.
Exactly. And they'll defend their position.
Of course. If you say that, you know, you're punishing me through your martyrhood position, then
they'll say, oh, I'm not, this is why I'm not.
Yeah, that's right. And they're going to blame you, and now you're the one who's the problem. And so there's an old adage that when you're dealing with someone who's a committed martyr, the best thing you can do is to run away, because you're not going to be able to help them. They're not going to ask for help.
Right.
Because you're just going to hurt yourself by hanging out with them. They will punish you. It's a guarantee. It's a money-back guarantee. They're going to punish you. So, and they didn't ask for your help, and when you try to give it to them, now you're the one who's martyred. Now you're misunderstood, unfairly treated, and so forth. You're the one who's, you will go into martyrhood if you try to help a martyr. They will make you a martyr for trying to help them.
Now, how do you help a person who is too self-important, too pompous?
Generally, you don't. Unless you can't help anybody unless they've asked for it, can you?
Okay. You can ask by, can you help by asking questions around it?
You can. But, I mean, if they haven't asked for help, they may not be open to the help.
That's true for every Martian, not necessarily for Phoenicians.
Okay.
A la John Gray, men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
All right. Well, there you go.
Men do not accept help unless they ask for it. Women will, generally speaking.
Okay. Well, that's a good distinction, if it works.
I'm sure you're familiar with John Gray.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks. I think you did a great job talking to both self-pity and self-importance. Thanks.
Okay, well, you're very welcome. Okay, I have Sherry. You are on.
You are off.
Hello,
hi.
Sherry.
Hello, can you hear me?
I do indeed.
Great. My question that I'd just love to hear your thoughts on, what if it seems like the original things that are upsetting are pre-verbal, so it just gets kind of vague?
Uh-huh.
Like there's not a distinct memory, you know, that you're upset, but it just seems like it's before you had the words to it.
Wow, that's an interesting question. I don't know. Well, I think that there are some specific emotions that'll be coming up, and maybe you can start there. I don't really have a good answer for you on that one. That's a new question for me.
How do you like that?
I like that, but
yeah.
I don't have a solid answer for you on that. I think that when you don't have that kind of information, I think that some of the techniques we're using in the level 2 quantum touch could be useful there.
Like holding the infant?
You know, running energy into the chakra stuff that we were doing, you know, the heart work and, you know, some, yeah, the infant would be ideal, you know, working with the infant that way too. Those sort of things.
Okay, that's good. That's what I've been doing. So I guess
yay.
I'm on track. Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay,
right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. And let's see, we have Henry. Hi, Henry.
Hey, may I come in?
Yeah, please.
Most of what comes up with when I do my processing is pre-verbal stuff. So.
Oh, that's right. That's where you, yeah.
It gets textures and raw sensory materials that comes up, and we can experience their qualities to those experiences that we can then work with. And seek to identify, and you can get to them. Yeah, sure.
Very nice.
You know, the temperature of something, the texture, you know, just the pure sensory. So if that helps.
I guess it does. I like that a lot. Yeah, I think that could be very helpful. Thank you.
Actually, I hit the button by mistake, but then she asked that.
Oh, well, he did it perfectly.
I guess. Okay, thanks. That's it.
Sure. Bye-bye. Okay, and Kim, I have you on now. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I'm jumping right in with what Henry said. Yeah, same. In processing pre-verbal material, which has happened for me a fair amount,
both
myself and others, as I'm processing it, I get a lot of body sensation. So it's rather than experiencing words, I experience sensation. So my body starts giving me the cues that we're in and that something is being touched upon and is significant. And so I just stay with the body sensation, follow the body sensation, allow that, and let that be my guide as to when something is released or when something's significant that's my response to
thank you very much. You know, I really want to elaborate on that thought a little bit. I really believe that the body sensation is a wonderful vehicle to help all of us in our processing. And it's something I should really talk about more, because I think that for people who have a difficult time staying focused on the emotions, if you really stay focused on your body sensation, all emotions have felt body sensation. And you feel them in your body. It's like from the throat on down through the groin, we tend to feel our emotions through the torso and the throat. It's just how it works. And for people to stay focused, really well focused, into their emotions, one way that helps a lot is to just stay body-oriented. Continue to experience it inside your body. And that makes it work better.
Richard,
thank you for that.
Can you still hear me? The other piece is, since I've been doing this for a while, so I say that as a premise, because I say that because maybe not everybody would have this experience, but with the staying with my body sensation, I've been able to then discern, like I'd asked the question around shame and asking you to explain that, I could feel when sometimes with, as I'm feeling my body sensation, something in my energy field that is not mine. So it also gives me a distinction that I can then send back that energy.
Yes.
And so that's been very useful. So that's been a way of processing and releasing of, oh, wow, that wasn't mine, and I just send it on back. And then I feel the freedom in my own sensation of my body. So it's like it's not only my body, but it's also my field, the aura, the what's around me, gives me the cues of the process.
Well, this is fantastic. Good work. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, I'm so impressed at how you folks are really embracing and doing the work right now. Why don't we take a 15-minute break? I think this is a 3-hour session today, if I'm not mistaken, to wrap up. And I feel like we've done a good job already. But why don't we take, we've been going for an hour and a half. Let's take 15 minutes, and then we will pick it up again. I'm not going to hang up. I'm just going to leave it on myself on mute for 15 minutes. I don't have to try to figure out how to dial back in. And we'll see you in 15 minutes from right now. Okay. So, looks like we've got about a little more than half the people back. Anybody have a question or something you'd like to talk about right now? You can raise your hand by hitting 1. The keyboard. No questions. Well, it's going to be a long rest of the call without some questions. Okay. A few more people have come in. Up to this point, I feel like, you know, I've shared what I really wanted to give you folks. And I wanted to let you feel like this process was truly your own. And if I'm not going to be getting questions, then I tend to think that I did my job and that you got it. Hey, we got Nicole. Hi, Nicole. You're on. Hi.
Hi, Richard. I just wanted to say thank you for the wonderful review. I started in with Lazarus in 1987 and have, you know, worked with processes and things. But something I just wanted to throw out there somewhere.
Please.
I remember Lazarus saying is like to possibly clean or process the process our approach to the process. One of the things that has come up this week for me was letting go of pain of working with other teachers and people who were ineffectual or you know, they weren't good enough. And so that was a filter that was affecting my ability. I mean, I got through the process and I've had physical relief from my symptoms and things. But it really reminded me, you know, we bring these filters, we bring this baggage of failed attempts or
exactly.
a process that really wasn't even very good and wouldn't work at all. So just, you know, in whatever way you could you know, help people or talk them through some way to clear out their junk so that then they come to the process clean.
Yeah, it's so true because, you know, it's like I think that EFT has done wonderful work for many people, especially helping them through some trauma. It's been really good for that. And yet at the same time, there's so many processes out there that aren't really getting people to the core issues, that aren't getting people through the core issues. And that can be more baggage that, you know, you spend all that money and time and hope to get through something that it didn't actually get you through. So,
I mean, I know there can be beliefs. And I remember Lazarus used to talk a bit about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, clean it. Clean your tools. Clean your raw materials so that you're working
with a
clean slate, so to speak. So it's like, you know, beliefs about, well, processes never work for me. They work for everyone else. Or, oh, here it is, another failed one. Or, you know, just all that can color our ability to make this whole thing work. And I did encounter that in myself this week, too. Just, yeah, letting go of some old pains of things that were very ineffectual. And I had blamed myself. You know,
it's easy to blame yourself and to be frustrated and to lack the humility to be willing to really try this process. What I like about this one is that unlike most of the processes that I did, including a lot of the Lazarus ones, is that I never felt like I could really get through the other side very well. And on this one, I really do feel like I know when I'm through the other side, and there's no doubt about it.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. We have Connie. You have a question or a comment. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about shame.
Sure.
Are you familiar with John Bradshaw's work on toxic shame?
Not really, no.
Well, he calls... He's actually saying that toxic shame is saying there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, that would be true.
I'm flawed and defective. I can't be fixed.
Yeah, that's basically what we're talking about. Yeah, that's toxic shame.
That's what you're talking about with shame?
That's it. That's the one. You named it.
So it came from somebody. Well, doesn't everything come from somebody else?
Sometimes we do things ourselves that we're really angry about. But, yeah, pretty much it does come from other people, but it's different in the case of shame because there was nothing there except the shame.
I'm not following that.
Well, for instance, if somebody lies to you and you know, then there's betrayal, there's all kinds of things inside there. There's, you know, the dishonesty and... There's so many different issues that can be connected to it. But with shame, that toxic shame, as you correctly called it, it was just somebody making you feel bad. It was somebody dumping their subhuman emotion onto you.
So it's not that I decided that something was wrong with me.
No. Okay, just think about the little child. Did the child ever decide that running around naked meant that there was something wrong with you? No, it was not the child's fault.
No, but I felt like there was something wrong with me. That's why no one loved me.
Well, that's how you are made to feel. You're made to feel subhuman and toxic, flawed, and that's what shame does. It makes you feel that way.
From what came, from what they were resonating.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they pass that gift that keeps on giving. Yes.
Oh, that wonderful gift.
Yeah, that
keeps
on
giving. Thank
you, Richard. You bet. Sure. Okay, that one touched a note. All right, and we have Amy. Hi, Amy.
Hey, I had a question about. I've heard the name mentioned Lazarus.
Yeah.
Can you tell me who that is?
Yeah, Lazarus is a non-physical entity who has been channeling through one person only a man named Jack Purcell, and that's spelled L-A-Z-A-R-I-S. You could look that up at Lazarus.com. And Lazarus was a teacher I worked with from 1980 to 1995. And then I didn't feel like it was my time to continue working with Lazarus anymore. There was nothing wrong with the relationship or the material. It just wasn't for me anymore, and I knew it on a very deep level. And I've tried coming back a few times, but I can never do it because it's just not for me anymore. Lazarus is a non-physical entity who says they've never existed in a time-space reality, had a human body, ever lived on Earth, and that there's more non-physical entities who have never been physical than there are physical ones who have been physical. And they are a source of incredible information. They were 100% accurate emotionally in private readings, not 98.6, but 100%. They weren't that good at predicting the future, but they were absolutely right on emotional issues. They saw that we create our reality 100%. There was no fine print. And been a remarkable source of information. I used Lazarus' understandings when I created Self-Created Health. My understanding about resonance and entrainment that I based quantum touch upon was an understanding I got from Lazarus. The idea that the healer was the one who was sick and got well is something that came from my understandings of Lazarus. And because of this, it really helped the entire organization stay out of its negative ego, not calling themselves a healer, not calling themselves masters, not doing any of that kind of stuff, really helped the organization stay emotionally healthier. So that's a little tiny introduction to Lazarus. And Lazarus continues to channel and do workshops, but they've, you know, Jack, having spent so many years doing private readings, no longer does them. I'm really regret not having that personal one-on-one with Lazarus anymore, but that was a time in my life that I will always treasure. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. And, hey, Heidi Marie, you are on. Hi.
Hi, Richard. Firstly, I would like to say, I would like to express my appreciation to you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you.
Giving this deep insight, which I'm sure helps all of us to move forward, to move whatever we need to move, however long it will take us individually.
Yes.
So, speaking of that, I have to say that this week, the process for me was rather slowly. It was reluctant.
Sure.
Didn't really want, felt very pulled into it and very comfortable with it, but took only this step and that step and not the entire process. Mm-hmm. And I was telling myself, but I'm doing what I feel like doing, what I need to do right now. So I felt quite comfortable with that. And I have to say, just now in the earlier conversation, I had this profound insight suddenly, which made me even understand why possibly I wasn't going into this process deeper during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm referring to the conversations regarding pre-verbal situations. And suddenly it hit me, you know, rather than for me personally, a lot of the things that have shown up for me in life were actually prenatal. And
wow.
By that, I'm referring to energetic vibrations that existed at the time of my birth. And within this 15-minute break, Richard, I am just having such powerful realizations. There are some issues that I have had all through my life.
Mm.
I'm quite healthy. I don't have any physical problems other than always annoying lower back problem. And I understood that it was probably related to first chakra, to you know, being born at that time. But today, in this moment, I understand that a lot of these issues were given to me energetically. My body resonated with something called fear.
Sure.
And the fear, you know, deposited itself in my lower back. And I'm also recognizing just now that many instances throughout my life, I was very attuned to any situation where fear showed its face. So I am now understanding some of the issues I personally have to deal with still, but this is such a huge, such a profound gift to me. I don't know how to express my appreciation totally to the callers earlier who mentioned this issue and, of course, to you. I know now where to start again to
wow.
make the backache disappear for good. There isn't even a question in my mind. The resonance with this all is so profound just now. I can feel the energy. I'm tingling throughout my body right now.
Mm.
I thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It's an
really
honor to...
quite profound.
I feel very privileged to be able to have that impact on you.
It's
thank
my
you
privilege
so much.
To be here. I was sent here, you know. That's how
well,
it works.
for all of you who feel grateful, please spread the word and
yes.
let people know about this workshop. And
yes.
Use the message board or write letters, and we can publish them in the newsletters. Thank
good.
You so much. Okay,
you're
great.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Kay, I have you on now.
Richard, during the break, I went a little deeper into my process, thinking about the process I've done over the week. And when I got to forgiveness of my father, I felt the release. Frankly, I felt this just gaping hole in my heart with the realization that, you know, I never got, nor was I going to get the love that I'd wanted. And after that, I did go into mourning that sadness. And then I moved into the insight of I'm not loving myself enough. And I had remorse over this, and I even got to some self-forgiveness. But then I guess, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, would like your help in, please. I felt like resistance was kind of creeping back in. And I know this probably sounds like a really basic question, but I guess self-love is just a choice you got to make over and over again until it becomes a habit, or how do I deal with the resistance? Or I know it's confusing. I wish I had a really focused, clarifying question, but I guess that's the best I can do right now.
I wish I had a really focused, clarifying answer for you too. I think that as you go through the process carefully, take your time, really dive into the depth of remorse, and then really take your time with forgiveness. You know, as go into the forgiveness as deeply as you can, and then let that flow into the self-love as deeply as you can. Now, old habits are habits, and so there's a tendency to bring them back again. But part of that tendency can be attributed to the fact that there may be nuances of pieces you hadn't healed or forgiven. And so the tendency for many people is to lose the humility and say, oh, see, I'm doing it all over again to myself. I'm just where I was before. That lacks humility. Humility being the willingness to see things as if for the first time. And that humility can allow us to really open up and say, okay, what's different this time? Yes, I'm definitely in the same theme again. It feels like I'm in the same place. But am I really in the same place? No, not at all. Because these things have shifted, but those ones feel the same. What else is there? What can I learn? And by bringing in a huge level of humility for yourself on this one, you can actually then find new answers within the same questions again. Say, oh, there was that whole side of it that I hadn't dealt with before. And when you hit that new side of the issue that you hadn't processed, then you can be completely into a new piece. And so if you lose your humility, when people lose their humility, then it becomes really challenging to do the process anymore. So to really try to work to be open to the new discoveries, that's the main thing.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. Okay, very good.
That was helpful. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, Tara, I'm not sure I got your name right, but you're on.
Yes. Yes. I was on for a bit before the break, and I had a follow-up question. Since everything seemed to be working through the process,
yeah,
and I had the resonance from the discovery process, I really felt the release and the remorse and all of that.
Sure.
But it just seemed that it wasn't, I guess, partly happening quickly in the forgiveness process, and it was moving.
Yeah,
and
good.
I felt good about where I did get to. But I'm wondering if I need to look farther back, or if that issue about the nurturing, I realized I had trouble too with, well, what do I do for an hour? I want to get ahead with this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some difficulty figuring out what to do. Is there perhaps something there that I still need to deal with, or is it more likely to be that there are remnants of related issues?
Yeah, I would look for related issues, you know.
Okay.
And see what else is there. Also, I think a really good rule of thumb is to look to see how deeply the remorse goes.
Okay.
If the remorse is pretty darn deep and pretty intense, you're in a very good position to do some very effective self-forgiveness work. If the remorse feels meager, you know, C+, not very profound, you probably haven't really hit on the level, and the forgiveness isn't going to be very deep. If the bow is not pulled back far, the arrow is not going to go very far. It's as simple as that.
Okay,
so,
I did feel that. I mean, the insight just hit me over the head, and then I did feel that the remorse was pretty deep.
Okay, good. Awesome. Yeah, that's great.
So perhaps I need to look for related issues then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
There are – great, thank you. Yeah, there are many times we have themes, and we will play out the theme over and over and over again with a number of people in our lives and then with ourselves. And these themes – you know, when you finally hit the core of them, you just get this major release. Okay, we have Kim. I have you on now, Kim.
Hi, Richard. A few things. One, just to thank you for being the vehicle of spreading this work. I appreciate you sharing your history with Lazarus, and I see you as a vehicle. Not everybody necessarily would resonate with Lazarus or go there,
yeah,
but here
that's
they may do, and I appreciate your finesse in talking and sharing and your skills as an instructor, so thank you.
Well, you're very welcome.
Second, a little piece about the pre-verbal, and I shared how I go into sensation, and often when I do that, I do get the sense of where I am in time and space, if that really exists. But, like, I recently, in doing a trade with one of the classmates, had the sense of actually being in utero, and I just, so I don't only get physical experience, but I may get visual experience, but that's the way it comes for me. But
sure.
And along with that is insight. So it, again, doesn't happen at that word thinking level, but it's all there. Everything
yes.
is there that's needed. My last piece is about how to work with this work with others, and I wonder if you could speak any more about that. When I haven't
tried it outside of classmates and with myself, and I don't particularly want it to be cumbersome. So I can imagine talking somebody through the discovery process, but can you say anything about giving somebody the tools if I don't stay with the person to go through the entire 7-step process of how I might,
sure,
I guess, teach somebody in an easy way that then can make
Well, there's no easy way,
okay,
as
all
you
right.
know, because this is what it is.
Right.
However, I've designed this course with the name Self on it because
right.
it's pretty much working with yourself. But other people have been able to take it into their practice or work
yeah.
with their friends. And what I would suggest is, if you want to do that, to help them with their discovery. That's easy. And then give them some homework to do.
Okay.
Give them some assignments. Okay, do this, do this, do this. And then, you know, kind of give them the idea of the process. I had one woman bastardize what I was doing. She had sciatic pain. It was screaming pain for her. And I tried running energy. That didn't do it, so I used the self-created health, and that did it right away. And the next day she had no more pain. And then she started bastardizing, run around telling people, well, use the words, you know. What are the words about the condition? And they started saying the words and noticed their condition improved by 10 or 15%, and then she started going around like she was a teacher. So it really, the process does have a lot of richness to it.
Yes.
Because, and so to the extent that you can convey that, that's great. And
okay.
let people have the depth of the experience. That's wonderful. And I know that there's a number of people who are going to be teaching this through Quantum Touch in time as well.
Thank you, Richard. I can see as you're talking, just for me to keep working with it with myself and practicing with classmates and let it evolve however it does.
Yeah, and some people have been using it in their Quantum Touch practice because when they hit a wall on Quantum Touch and the person just keeps coming back every week and says, the pain came back again, that's when they do this technique and wow, now they don't have the pain anymore.
Thank you for saying that because other piece I wanted to say is share. When I did a trade with one of the classmates this last week,
yeah.
she was offering the level 2 quantum touch while I was in that pre-verbal state, and I felt that it was giving me such support to go in deeper. So I felt really supported to open to stronger emotions, stronger insight.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I really feel like there's an overlap, maybe a 15-20% overlap between the level 2 and the self-created health, and they really work together, and I just feel blessed to have been able to come up with 2 workshops in the last year or so.
Well, you referred to it, when I took level 2 from you, you referred to it as almost being the twin or sister or friend or whatever it was that you used.
It's a companion piece, yeah. They work together really well. Well, I'm glad you're here now experiencing it too.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay. So, Henry, I have you on now. Hi.
I actually had the experience this week of working with one of the people who attended one of my classes by Skype. Worked with her by Skype, obviously, long phrasing, and helped her through the discovery process. She came to a profound sense of the hurt experience. And at that point, I sort of gave her some tools that you had articulated for how to work
good.
I didn't go through the anger. I said, if anger comes up later, then we'll come back. But it felt like too much to give her.
It
would put her back in her head to give her all of that. And so that we're now going to get together again. She's processed the hurt 2 or 3 times, and now she's really got clearing, and now she's ready to deal with some anger that's coming up. I'm hoping this is okay.
Oh, I think that you are a pathfinder who's helping us find protocols. I feel like I'm more like the person who discovers the continent, and you're the one who's creating a map on how to work inside the continent.
And so I'm kind of like figuring out how we get from this place to that place, and you're figuring out how we get through the place, because I'm not as I haven't been as deeply involved on that level. So I'm really grateful that everybody's going to be figuring out how we can actually use this, you know, process with each other in the future more. I've given a lot of people the help and give them a lot of homework to do, but I don't consider myself really the therapist that much, that I, you know, work with the people ongoingly that long. And so I really feel grateful that you're doing the work, and it's fantastic.
I just want to make sure it was okay to layer the information.
Sure, why not? Why not?
Right.
If they're,
okay.
You know, if you're sensing when they're ready, do it. But I don't have any answers that way to say this is how it must be done or should be done. I just think that this is the map. I've created the map of how to get there, and now let's figure out the best way of using the map. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't think about it ahead of time. It just spontaneously felt what was appropriate.
Well, you follow your wisdom pretty well, so you're doing a good job of it. Okay, good.
Thanks.
Okay, so are there any more questions or comments or discussion points you want to talk about? The phone lines are open right now, so please come on in if you want to. What I did in this workshop is I laid out everything I had to share with you as quickly as I could, and then I figured the rest of the workshop was for you folks to own the material yourself, to really wrestle with it and make it your own material. And my strong desire was that we would reach a point where there's just no more questions and comments. You own this stuff. You've got it down for yourself. You've got it as best you're going to get it at this point. If you want more connections with people in the workshop, you can email jennifer@quantumtouch.com, and she can hook you up with other people in the group. I personally would feel grateful if any of you would write up a short story or blurb that we can put in the newsletter, or if you feel like posting on the message board about this workshop, because I really want to spread the word about how valuable this work is. I don't feel like I did a good enough job in my own communication, because I don't know how to express the depth and magnitude of what this does. I think that it's much more profound than I can express. So I'd be grateful if you would do that. We're not seeing any more hands raising up, which kind of tends to make me think that we're reaching the end of this particular workshop. All the different sessions have or are being posted. We had challenge with last Sunday's post. We spent about 20 times trying to download it and edit it, and it wouldn't download properly. But I think Jennifer is putting it up in an unedited format, so they just have to scroll through it to hear the parts, and there's a lot of music and stuff that you can just bypass. I've been incredibly blessed to figure out how these pieces work together as an understanding of emotional process. And, we got a few more people interested, and I'm really grateful that I've been able to pass them on to you. So we've got Kim back on. Hi, Kim. You're back.
Hello, Ken. I just wanted to share that I found your demos extremely valuable, and I recognized that when I went into the breakout session, I hadn't yet heard a demo. So
yes,
one bit of feedback would be, I'd love to hear you show us how to do it.
Exactly.
Jump in. Yeah.
I realized that afterwards, and I kicked myself a few times, but I managed to find remorse and forgiveness before I beat myself up too much for having been out of sequence that way. But I'm learning, so thank you for that. I do appreciate it. Okay, and we have Henry again. Hi, Henry.
Hi. Sorry. What's next? With this? Can we continue to practice it? Will there be other opportunities for us
to, I mean, yes, for those of us that have a quantum touch practice, we can, I'm assuming it's okay to be using this, but is there a practitioner component to this that...
We haven't gotten that far yet. We haven't gotten that far. And so when we do get that far, we'll let you know, and you might, you know, since you're teaching advanced stuff, you might find yourself being one of the teachers teaching this. Because you've taken the class twice now, and, you know, you're on your way.
Thanks.
You bet. Okay. And Dorian, I have you on now.
Hi, Richard. I just want to thank you for this work. I think this is just great, and all the work that you've been presenting. And I personally have... I've gone through the process with this, and I really need to spend more time with it. The first time, I almost felt like the first time I went through the discovery, and I did, you know, I did this with my partner last week, and you know, something. And then when I went through it again, kind of by myself, and I felt like when I got into the discovery process, there was something before that that I needed to attend to. And I honestly, I'm sort of out of town and on vacation. I haven't really found that much time to do that yet. Even on this 15-minute break, I worked on some of it, and it was really powerful. And I just know that it's about really, you know, taking the time and putting that kind of time and energy into it that I need to. I wanted to also tell you that I really feel like the teleseminar is a, it's worked really well for me, and I really appreciated, even though we had a couple of glitches, I just think it's great, and I've really appreciated everyone else's input, all of their sharing. It's really helped me to learn a lot for myself. And I just wanted to know, would you be offering anything like the Quantum Touch Level 2 in this format? Or any
I would
other?
Love to, but I think that this class lended itself to this format more than the Level 2 class. One of my students recommended that we do a teleseminar on this class since it really wasn't, our physical presence wasn't so necessary. But in the Level 2, we're actually looking at each other in the class a lot.
Okay.
And so it doesn't lend itself to this particular approach. But I think it was a very good idea. It saved a lot of people a lot of money and time, being able to do it over the phone rather than having to fly and stay at hotels and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I'd also, just from what you said about the Level 2, I'd love to learn that. And I'm in the Midwest, so if there's any chance of it coming around Illinois soon, I'd love to also have a chance to take the Level 2.
I was just in New Jersey, and from the Los Angeles point of view, it isn't that far, but from the Midwest,
right.
It does seem like it's farther.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not sure what we've been putting together my schedule. I'm not sure where I'm going to be. I think I'm going to go to Florida, which isn't really Midwest either.
Well, that's always a good place to go, though, especially in the winter.
I think I'm going to Orlando. I think it's like April or something, or March. I don't know. So, yeah. Maybe it's February. I don't know. I have to check the schedule.
Also, I just want to really thank you for, like, what you shared about the Lazarus work, and just one thing I've really appreciated about you and just quantum touch in general it just feels really clean and so non-ego-y, and it's very unique to me compared to many other organizations. So I really, really appreciate you and, you know, where you're coming from.
Well, thank you so much. And I really want to, you know, put my thanks into Lazarus, because I spent 15 years trying to deal with ego issues and understand emotional process. And that's why I think that the material is as clean as it is,
mm-hmm.
because it does have that background behind it that helps us to get there without having to bring all the extra stuff in, the extra agenda.
Great. Well, thank you.
Oh, by the way, I just looked. I will be in Florida the 19th and 20th of February.
Ooh.
and it's going to be Orlando. So if you want to get away from the winter in February, that's where I'll be teaching the level two.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay, great. And I'll put this one here, and we have Adhikari. Hi there.
Hi. I just had a kind of fine point question. You know, in the remorse, which is very deep, there was just this intense sadness and feeling so sorry for what I had done to myself.
Yes.
And so it feels like there's a really an overlap. It's a very with the forgiveness, because in the forgiveness,
yeah,
I'm also sorry. So I just wanted to make clear that that's okay.
Yeah, and that's part of the smoothness of the transition, because it goes from I'm sorry, because you're taking the remorse, and that's the first part of the forgiveness.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's all. Thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks
beautiful.
Very much for all of it.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, that's, you know, when I look back on this whole process, I'm just astounded, because it is so obvious. You look back and say, well, of course it has to be that way. You have to have a discovery, because what are you going to release if you don't know what you're releasing? I talk to so many people who say, well, the reason I got a cold was because I really needed to take a vacation, or I really need to take some time off, I've been overstressed. But colds cause a lot of wet to happen, you know, the mucus and stuff. Wet is like tears. A lot of times, it's sadness. It's crying. It didn't happen. And there's a lot of shallow answers that get expressed about why a condition happened. Well, I've just been working too hard. But no. It's that you were really upset about this event that didn't happen or did happen or whatever. And so people don't give themselves the depth. And when you have the discovery, then you can aim for the release. And, you know, there's a bunch of release techniques, and you'll probably find others if you look around for them. But you want release ones that involve the depth of emotional expression. From the release, then comes that lovely turnaround, the insight. And it just, but it's not good to do the release. I mean, it's not good to do the insight if you haven't had the release. It's so unhealthy. In fact, one woman, a friend of mine, was expressing that she was able to not want to do the release because she jumped into the insight. If you jump into the insight prematurely, well, I don't need to release the emotion now because I've had the insight, and so I don't have to be angry at you anymore. And she realized she had cut herself off. From the insight, then it automatically flows into remorse. You know, I did this to me. Oh, my God, now you can actually... The remorse is the insight, actually. It is the insight, but it's just letting yourself feel the insight. And the forgiveness is taking the remorse and going further with it, where you're actually forgiving. So these steps are so organically interwoven together that it just amazes me that the psychological profession doesn't see how the natural progression of emotional expression and release have to go. This is an archetypal pattern of where it has to go. Okay, I have Amy. I have you on now. Hi, Amy.
Oh, I think that was a mistake. I'm sorry.
Not a problem. Phones, if there's anybody that thinks that you're waiting, and I don't have any hands up now, so if anybody thinks they're waiting, please get back online again. So, as I was saying, I'm just really surprised and amazed that the psychological profession has not figured this out, because I'm not a psychotherapist, and I have, you know, been studying emotional process and for a long time. But to see how obvious it is from a distance, how completely clear it is that these are the steps in the processes, just amazes me that it has been overlooked. Okay, I have Trudy. You are on. Hi, Trudy.
Hi, Richard. I loved your comments about a cold. I have for years and years said, and my husband too, we don't do colds.
Yeah.
We And we don't. We do not do colds. But all during the time that when I was in charge of the office, I insisted on people taking time off when they felt tired, when I thought they looked tired.
Yeah.
I said, go take a day off, then one day will be enough, and you won't need a week to be sick.
Yeah.
It is extremely effective.
Good, good.
Just a comment that I thought of when you said colds.
Yeah.
And
thank you. Thanks for the comment.
You're welcome.
It was funny. I was talking to a very old woman one time. She was like in her 90s and she was full of spunk. And I said, well, how come you and your husband don't get sick? And she says, sick? We don't have time to get sick. We're having too much fun. We're busy. We're traveling. We're having adventures. We're doing this and we're doing that. We don't have time to get sick. I thought that was really a great comment. I thought she was wonderful and thanked her for it. Anybody else have anything else you want to ask or share or talk about right now? The lines are open, as they say. As I feel grateful to have had the opportunity to pass this on to you. And I feel like, you know, you folks have really had the courage to make this your own, to make this work yours. And that's what I wanted to do, to let you wrestle with it and chew on it and play with it and work with it. And I like this extended format in some ways better than the weekend workshop, because in the weekend workshop they had Saturday night to process and Sunday to chew on it. And this way you had an extra week to really work with it and try to make it your own. So we got Jorge. Hey, Jorge, how are you doing?
Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
Great.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you very much for sharing with us all this information. It really works. The same that the basic and the level two, it just really works. Right now, I'm more or less 60% of my time I'm doing sessions with Quantum Touch. Now I'm going to, I guess I, in the near future, I'm going to be full-time in this. So I really want to thank you about this. And yesterday that I'm working a little bit on this, in the process, I realize, I understand about the infinite love and gratitude and all that stuff. But yesterday I think that loving is to give till it hurts. Because It's a big deal. It's a big thing that we have to do.
Yes.
And again, just thank you. Thank you very much. And that's all.
Well, thank you again. I just really appreciate everyone. This is a process that you have now for the rest of your life to utilize, to work with. And I think that more than anything else I've ever taught, this is, first off, is the most profound workshop that I've ever brought forth. But beyond that, it takes the most courage of any workshop I've ever taught. And it's not for everyone, because you see that most people don't want to have to dive into that level of emotional reality. But it makes you real. It makes you a real person to do it, because the rest is just persona, and this makes you a real person. And if there's any other questions or comments or anything you want to do, please speak up now, because I feel like we're wrapping up at this point, and I don't really have anything more to share unless you have any other questions or comments that you'd like to bring forth. In which case, I just want to thank all of you so much for taking your time and being here and giving of yourself and transforming yourself as you've done. And it really validates the process for yourself. That's the main thing, is that it really works for you. And with that, I just want to, again, thank you so much, and everybody. And if you're inspired to write something for our newsletter or for our message board, please do so. And in behalf of Jennifer and myself and Quantum Touch. Oh, Jennifer has some announcements, and I've got one more question here from Trudy. Let me take this one. Hi, Trudy.
Is there a way that all of us can applaud simultaneously to you?
Hey, Jennifer, is there a way everybody can applaud simultaneously? I don't think we have
everyone
that.
Everyone can raise their hand.
Everyone can raise their hand if you want to say thank you.
Okay, let's all raise our hands.
Okay, just all hit one or something or some number on your keyboard.
We can do it. Oh.
Yay, we got. You can all do your own silent run the energy. Jennifer has a few announcements that she'd like to make before we end this thing. Here she is.
Hello, everyone.
They can't answer back.
I tripped over your chair.
Okay, there you are.
So a couple of announcements. One is certificates of completion. Once I get the final list of everyone who's attended all of the classes, I'll do, you know, all of the parts of this workshop, I'll be sending out certificates to those people. And a couple of you have made special arrangements. If you know, some people have missed one of the sections, and so I'm making special arrangements for people who have missed a section. Anyways, those will be probably get sent out towards the end of the week. And then replays, I'll be putting up this today's replay up on the site, and I just put up a replay from November 7th, the session on Sunday, and then all the replays from November 6th are up. The one from November 7th on Sunday is a non-edited version. We had trouble with the editing, so there's like a bunch of music at the beginning, but you can like fast forward through that. Anyway, sorry about that. So I think that wraps up all the admin stuff. Does anyone have any questions about the admin side? Okay, Dorian.
Hi, Jennifer. So if we wanted to make a comment do we just send you an email or, you know, like a review or something for the newsletter or some kind of thing? Should we just email it to you, or is there a way to, better, more specific way?
Actually, email me would be great. I'd love comments, you know, as far as, you know, especially good comments, but also ways to improve. Because I feel like, you know, we're going to do it. We're scheduling another one for next year, another Self-Create Health over the teleseminar. So, I'd love comments. So send them to jennifer@quantumtouch.com.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Any more questions on the administrative side? Okay, great. Let me put Richard back on. Richard? Oh. Okay, no more administrative.
Okay, well, thank you again, everybody. I've really appreciated this opportunity, and I think the most inspiring thing for me is to see all of you getting this and really moving on with your lives. And with that, I just want to look forward to our next connection. And when I see you at the level two workshops, they're just astounding. The ability to move energy in new ways and get results happening that we didn't even anticipate. Taking the work to a whole new level. It's as amazing as this workshop, but in a whole different way. Anyway, thank you all so much, and I'm going to sign out now.
And, oh, wait, we have one more hand up again. Okay, we'll take this one. Okay, Trudy, hi there.
That was the same hand I had up before to applaud.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. I'll look forward to seeing you next time we connect. Okay, take good care. Okay, bye-bye.